Welcome to Kingsway's weekly podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Thank you. I was recounting a story to Sharon a few months ago, and she says, "You've never told that story in church." Well, I've told the story probably 10 times, but she says I've not told it in church, so... For those of you who've never heard this story, I want to tell you a story. And for those of you who have heard it, well, it still makes me cry a bit, so just enjoy the story again. No, it's not cry like that. It's just a little small tear cry. Yeah. So that's the title. It's a bit of a number of thoughts on this issue of... I think the word is worship, okay? I think that's what I'm talking about. So, which will soon become clear. So as many of you know, I went to Malaysia about 10 years ago. And when I went to Malaysia, I gave up my job as a doctor to go to Malaysia. And I've told that story many times. But when I went to Malaysia, I really kind of had this big step of faith. I gave everything up, went off to Malaysia, probably in my mind expected to live there about 3 months, but lived there 8 years. And it was a really amazing time for me, really amazing. It was a great time to spend time reading the word, great time to spend time learning a type of ministry, great to... spend time in another culture, got to know lots of people, still have lots of really great friends. But as a part of that process, there were things within what I was doing that were not great, okay? And they became less great the longer I stayed. And it got to the point really where I really couldn't stay any longer. And after that point, I probably still stayed a few years longer than I should have done after I couldn't stay any longer. So by the time I kind of came home, it had been quite a kind of mix of really, I became a person that I was much happier to be, having had that experience. I got to know God much in a much deeper way than I had done. But there were some difficult things as well. And when I came home, the reason I came home was because I'd had a word from God, because I kept saying, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I can't stay, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." And it sounds like a bit of a ridiculous thing to not know what to do. But I actually had a word from God, and the word from God was, genius, it's time to come home. So I came home. But what do you do? Fortunately, I had a place to live. So I had somewhere to live. And what do you actually do? I mean, I'd lived for 8 years by faith, which means not working for a wage. I didn't particularly want to go back to work, having lived in that way for 8 years. And in fact, what actually would I do? I mean, what do you do? What do you do with a medical degree if you don't want to be a doctor? It's kind of, what do you do? Anybody got any ideas what you do? I mean, it's just really a challenge. What is it that you do? So I just had this time, maybe, I didn't want to do anything. I, looking back, needed a bit of time to recover. I thought you lot were absolutely stark raving bonkers. Couldn't stand coming to church for about a year, sorry to say. But anyway, in that time, I had myself personally come into this revelation of, you know, what we would call this revelation that we have of grace, but I still couldn't get a lot of the kind of stuff that we were doing. And so anyway, I had this year, did some Bible study. I just kind of lived, and anybody who ever asked me, I would always say, "I'm just being a son of God," and I meant it sincerely, but deep in my heart, I'm thinking, "God, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And so it was, you know, it was quite a challenging year. And this time last year, or just at the beginning of the iDestiny school this time last year, John MacDonald came to speak on Father Heart. And by that time, I was getting to the point of thinking, I've got to do something. And of course, I think, well, better go back to Asia then. You know, why not go back to Asia? What should I do? Should I, you know, just what do I do? And the reason I think that I couldn't kind of move on was just, of course, I just needed time. But there was an issue for me that wasn't really resolved. And I don't think I understood that issue, but it was a really helpful thing for me to kind of, you know, for God to do this for me. And so we were, I thought, right, come on, Rebecca, just go and do yourself a favour. Just go. And I know about Father Heart, okay, I know it. I don't need to listen to it again, but I just thought, just shut up. Do yourself a favour. Just go and sit and listen to John McDonald speak about Father Heart. So I thought, okay, God, I'm going to sit there and I'm just going to enjoy it, okay? No agenda. I know about the Father Heart. I'm happy to hear about it again. But so anyway, I sat there listening to John McDonald, and John McDonald was great. If you want to listen to it, it's on the iDestiny website, or if it's not, it will be soon. And he was great. He talked about Father Heart, and he talked about sonship, really, and about, you know, our sonship having the Father Heart of God. And I'm sitting there saying to God, but God, I just need to know. I just need to know the answer to this question. I just, can you please just answer this question? Did I make a mistake going to Malaysia? Did I make a mistake? Did I not hear you? Was it that you never said, go to Malaysia? Did you never tell me to give up my job? Because, gosh, what if I just didn't hear you? What if I made the wrong choice? What if? If that's all wrong, then what about the whole 8 years? Is that wrong? Should I go back to medicine then? Should I be going back to medicine? What if I made a mistake? If I didn't make a mistake, then why was it so bad, some of it? Why was what happened so difficult? Why did I get involved in something that really wasn't totally healthy? And is there something wrong with me? Am I deficient in some way? Do I have a vulnerability that just means that I'm just going to, you know, go for something that isn't healthy because it's meeting some kind of need in me that, you know, is just kind of, I'm kind of a vulnerable individual who needs whatever, a religious setup to kind of make me feel good about myself or whatever. So I'm sitting there with, you know, my holy face in listening to John McDonald. Has everybody heard this story before or not? Has anybody not heard this story? Okay, it's a good story. I'll carry on then. So I'm there, you know, listening to Father Heart, and I'm going on, but God, I just need to know. I just need to know. God, I just need to know, because I couldn't move on. Because which way do you move on? If I made a mistake, then I've got a really big decision. Do I take back my responsibility of my training and my education and go back and be a doctor? If God did say, and he did say, you know, don't, you know, it's time to learn another way, then what was that all about? You know, why? Why was that the way when it just, really, there were quite a lot of issues that were not great. So, of course, I'm there, ding, dong, you know, God, will you just answer the question? And I think probably day two, God answered the question. And I know you're fascinated to hear what the answer is. Yes, okay. God said to me, the answer is not the answer. You know, when you know you've heard God speak and you think, I just thought, God, please don't be a smart aleck. It's like, please, God, this is not the time in my life for a smart answer from you. And that is not going to work. But I really knew that God had said that the answer to that question is not the answer. And I thought, I knew God had said, I knew God had spoken. And yet you kind of left thinking, God, I know you're brilliant, and I know that is a fantastic answer to that question, but please. So anyway, I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? It's real wisdom. That is God's abundant wisdom, because what is the right answer? If he says to me, you know what, love, you made a terrible mistake. You never heard my voice. You shouldn't have given up your job, and you should, you know, I planned for you to be a whatever consultant surgeon, blah, 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 and look where you are now. I mean, how would that have helped me? I'd have been like, you know, God, what do I do? Trying to get my career back, trying to think, how am I ever going to trust God again? How am I ever going to hear his voice again? How am I ever going to move on from that point? How? Because I really sincerely thought I heard God say that. And what do you do if God says, sorry, you know, I love you, but yeah, I never said that. So I thought, and then what about the other way? What if God said, yep, absolutely, that was my absolute perfect will for you. And, well, what do I do? Do I go back to Malaysia and get more of it? Do I, you know, how does that work? Why would that be God's perfect will for me to be in a situation that was really not that great? And so I'm pondering about it, and I'm, you know, sitting there thinking, you know, God, okay, good answer. It is a good answer. And, you know, you're kind of left with this, I have to accept that's the answer. I don't know how I'm going to move on from that answer, but that does sound like a God answer. So, great, I got my answer. So I'm sitting there in day three of Father Heart, you know, thinking, great, it's great teaching, thinking, but God, if you could just tell me, I know it's not the answer, but could you possibly just tell me, did I do it right or did I do it wrong? Please, can you just tell me, was it right or was it wrong? Because I can't move on. And I said, I know it's not the answer, but I just, you know, and I'm just kind of, you know. So anyway, do you want to hear what God really said to me? Because that is where I got really set free. And I heard the laugh of God. And laugh is the wrong word because I haven't got a word to express it. But it's this bubbling joy that was kind of overflowing from the throne of God. And it was this, he was laughing at me, but not in that horrible way that we laugh at people. It was just absolute overflowing delight and joy. And almost at me kind of saying, God, tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's almost like that massive laugh that just says, you know, my child, you know, it's that kind of, and I felt this joy come from God. And he said to me, I have to remember what he said. He said to me, I loved what you did and the way that you did it. And it like hits you like that. You think, what do you mean you love what I did and the way that I did it? Was it right or was it wrong? And it isn't either right or wrong. It's he loved what I did and the way that I did it. And it's like so freeing. It is so enormously freeing because you can just move on. It's neither right nor wrong. It's just not God's economy. God's economy isn't you did this right, you did this wrong, you're doing the right thing, you're doing the wrong thing. It's just I loved what you did. And I loved the way that you did it. And it's like amazing. And it, honestly, it completely, utterly set me free because you can move on. Because it actually doesn't matter. It's not God's economy. So what I really want to talk about a little bit is if we really understand who we really are and what is ours to do in life, then I think we will do things in a very different way. And I think we won't get into all the angst that we can get into. And the problem is, you know, we've talked a number of times a little bit about, you know, this Godfrey Bertel song about uncaged community. And for anybody who has never heard the talk that, and I can remember names of people that I know very well. Who did it? Okay. Phil did it. I can remember names. on judgment, it was about a year ago. If you have never listened to that or never heard it, then listen to it. It's on the website. I think what he said, I think we need to listen to it over and over again, and about us not judging one another and not judging one another's motives and not doing things out of our own judgment of why someone else is doing something or not doing something. Brilliant. I think, listen to it again. But, when we come to talking about community and loving one another and living together well, and just living in the joy that is ours to live in, and keeping ourselves in love, living as a community of love, I think sometimes we get a bit tied up in what we're doing, and sometimes it can be we miss the point and we bring division in our community because we don't understand why we are doing what we are doing. So, next slide, please. What does God think about what we do? So my question to God is, what did you think about what I did? Was it right or was it wrong? Did I do the right thing? And I mean, I'm talking about everything. There's dots at the end because you can add your own dots. I'm talking about the big things, the career. I'm talking about the jobs you do in the house. I'm talking about leisure, school, study, relationships. I'm talking about everything. When I'm talking about what you do, it's everything. It's, it's what. It's just how you do what you do. And the next question, a difficult question to answer, why do you do what you do? So I really want to talk a bit about our motivation for what we are doing. And I think some of us struggle a bit more than others, and I have struggled a bit more with this than maybe some people do, because I'm a doer. And because I do, then if people don't do, then it can be a bit frustrating. Because what I learned over the time is, if I am doing something and I am beginning to feel like, I'm doing this and they're not doing that, and if I didn't do it, this wouldn't get done, or whatever those thoughts are that you begin to think, actually, I've stopped doing it. I've learned for myself to stop doing it because I don't have to do it either. Now, as a community, it doesn't work if nobody does anything, right? But if we're doing it with this heart of, kind of resentment or unforgiveness or judgment or whatever, that isn't the heart of God, because God is not interested in what we do. He is interested in how we do it and the heart in which we are doing things. So the question is, why do we do what we do? And I'm not advocating doing nothing, but what I'm saying is that we have lived this continuum of life, and every moment of every day, God is looking at us to delight in us. And his delight is not in how many things we have done or how it was necessary that you do it, because no one else is going to do it if you don't do it. He's interested in, why are we doing it? What is our heart? And that's why when God said to me, I love the way that you did it, it's like, wow, is that so important? So it's not what you do, it's the way that you do it. And I want to look at a few scriptures. Okay, is Alice here? Where is Alice? Alice encouraged me this morning inadvertently, because I'd thought about speaking about blessing. And when you begin to think, I've got nothing to say that everybody doesn't already know. And something came out of my mouth that wasn't a blessing. And she said to me, Rebecca, you can be a blessing, And it reminded me to, she very gently rebuked me. And it reminded me to say, well, if I needed reminding this morning, then probably some of us also need reminding. And if we see ourselves as we truly are, and if we are dwelling in the place that we truly live, which is within this wonderful union of a God who loves us, he probably doesn't care what we do, but he really cares a lot about how we do it and why we do it. And out of that, we will do better than we've ever done before. But out of that place of where we live and who we are, we have been given a great authority to pronounce blessing and to be a blessing. And that's what benediction is. It's to pronounce blessing. And basically, whatever we are doing, we have the possibility of being a blessing and doing it as a blessing. And it's just we are a blessing. It's not about, you know, wearing a cloak and putting your fingers in a certain way and doing this over a crowd, although that's great to pronounce blessing. It's just, it's who we are. And you can only be that person if you're really truly living in the place that we belong and live in. Because once you get out of that place and start living in a different culture, like a law-based culture or a wages-based culture or a whatever-based culture, then it's very hard to be a blessing because you're trying to get something rather than freely being a blessing. So blessed, to bless, is to enlarge or prosper or to make happy. Isn't that amazing, amazing mandate we have from God? This is our purpose on earth, to be a blessing, to enlarge people, to prosper our community, to make people happy. That is our job. It's the privilege that we have been given. And this is a little quote from John Crowder's The Ecstasy of Loving God. He says, "You are a royal priesthood and you are called to bless people. You have authority to speak and declare blessings and to carry an atmosphere of blessing everywhere you go. You are to be an agent for God's pleasure and goodness in the earth. On one side of the cross," that was the Old Testament, "were always looking for a blessing. Now you are a blessing." And it's quite interesting if you think about all those things you do. Are you doing it because you're a blessing? And because God looks and is just like, "I love the way you do that. I love the way you do that." But if I'm doing it thinking, they never do that, and they're not doing that, and if I didn't do that, then blah, 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 whatever it is, I'm not actually being a blessing. I might be doing the thing, but I'm not actually being a blessing. I'm not seeking to enlarge anybody or prosper anybody or make anyone happy, because I'm not that nice when I'm thinking like that. So it's about our motivation. It's about, this is the real privilege that we have as those who know who we are, those who know that we are sons, that we are blessed beyond belief, that we live in the grace and the mercy of God, and it's our privilege. So next slide. Sorry, I forgot I wasn't controlling the slides. Psalm 52, verse 8. Okay, of a little psalm of David, and he starts off talking about the unrighteous and how the unrighteous prosper and all this stuff happens to the unrighteous. And then he comes to this conclusion. He says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." It's an awesome verse. We could just camp here. What is an olive tree? I mean, I don't know whether anybody has any ideas of what an olive tree means. I just had a few words. It's about oil, isn't it? The olive produces oil. It's about anointing. It's about shining. They put the oil in the light to shine. It's about Christ-likeness. He was the anointed one. It's about joy and gladness, the oil of joy and gladness. And it's like, this is who I am. I am this green olive tree in the house of the Lord. And that is who we are. Now, that's not talking about in church, okay? It's talking about wherever you are. It's talking about, you know, whether you're sitting on the bus or whether you're, you know, whatever you're doing. That is who I am. And that is the heart of God. And you look at Jesus, that's who he was. Nobody ever touched Jesus and got sorry, I'm not in the mood, or I'm having a bad day. He didn't do that. He just knew that he was a blessing. And it's really interesting. I feel confident to talk about these next couple of verses, because in the old days, we would have kind of said, right, okay, come on, we've got to do better, we've got to do better. And I'm not showing you these verses to say, come on, do better, you know, be a better, you know. What I'm saying is, when we know who we are and when we really live in that place, dwelling in the fact that God loves me, I've received his mercy, I'm forgiven. I'm not thinking about all the sorts of bad things. I'm just thinking about what a glorious, glorious life it is to live forgiven, to live in his mercy, to receive his grace. I mean, wow, it's fantastic. It's just amazing. And in Hosea, God says, he says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And Jesus quotes this scripture a couple of times. And it's just really interesting, for I desire mercy. And it's interesting because we quite often think, well, okay, I desire mercy for me, but for that person there, that's the last time I'm going to do that, because, or whatever we do in our relationships, okay, or at our work or whatever we do. But actually, we should desire mercy, in that we have received mercy, and I really want mercy for you too. And it's quite interesting because Jesus twice quotes this, and you know, Jesus was always having trouble with people coming to him about the law, saying, you know, your disciples have done this, or they haven't done that, or whatever. And Matthew 9:13, Jesus says, go and learn what this means. Isn't that amazing? Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And then he says, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's when he was being accused of having dinner with the tax collectors. And it's interesting, you know, maybe Jesus would say to us, go and learn what this means. This is my heart. My heart is I desire mercy. Mercy is about how we do things and our heart and our motivation for doing things. After the disciples had eaten the grain on the Sabbath, the Pharisees came, and Jesus says, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So he was saying the disciples aren't guilty. If you had known this, do we know what it is to desire mercy? Because God really loves our heart. He loves our motivation. I'm really beginning to believe that when we have these big questions for God, you know, should I do A or should I do B? I just believe God says yes. Yes. A, yes. Yes, B, yes, yes, B. Because I'm not saying God doesn't have a purpose or a will for our life, but his purpose and his will for our life, I'm very sure, is more tied up in the way that you do it and how you do it. And I'm really, really happy that I'm set free from this niggling doubt. What if God had always intended for me to be a consultant surgeon and I've missed it? And I'm free because I can be if I want to be, and I can't be, I don't have to be if I don't want to be. And it actually is neither. It's just neither. But what he's interested in is, why did I do what I did, and my heart in doing it? And I mean, I think God's probably been kind to me about my heart, because my heart wasn't always great at times, but that's God, isn't it? He just says, you know, I love the way that you did it, and it's quite amazing. And I think that's part of the heart, God's heart of mercy. It's about how we do it. What are we doing? Oh, have we got this heart of mercy? He doesn't need us to do stuff. He doesn't need us to, you know, be the only one doing this. He wants to know, are you doing it because you want to enlarge, prosper, make happy the person that you are doing it for, or that is affecting? Or are you doing it because who knows what? Mercy. Next slide. Please. I love this. One of the online dictionaries. Compassionate or kindly forbearance shown towards an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. Compassion, pity, or benevolence. And honestly, if we would just know mercy, we wouldn't have as much difficulties in our relationship and communication, in our caged community. We would just be very much more open. And I think we do really well, okay? But it's, I know my own heart. You know, it can quite quickly sometimes get to, you know, mumbling and grumbling about stuff or feeling badly done to or whatever. And I think, you know what? As soon as I start feeling like that, I just stop doing it because I don't have to do it. And as soon as I stop doing it and think, why am I doing it? I remember why I'm doing it, because actually I want to be a part of a community that loves one another. I tell you, the joy of doing something when your motivation is compassion and kindness and wanting someone else to be happy and enlarged, it's wonderful. It makes you want to do stuff even more. So that is mercy. Okay, a few verses. Okay, this is the Amplified version, but they've redone the Amplified, okay, recently. And both of these are good. I couldn't choose which one was best. So we'll read them both. Ephesians 5, verse 2. It says, "And walk continually in love. That is, value one another. Practice empathy and compassion." This is the heart of God. He's concerned about why we do things. Is it because I got this opportunity today to practice empathy and compassion? Or am I doing it because I've got to earn this wage, or I've got to do this, otherwise somebody won't be happy with me, or I've got to do it because I'm only going to feel happy with myself if I've done it, or is it I get this opportunity to practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ also loved you. The reason why we are asked to do that is because that's what Christ-likeness is. That's who he is, and amazingly, we get to be who he is because he is part of us. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, slain for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. And that's almost like the delight of God, isn't it? And I think, you know, when I, you know, felt that delight of God, it's like we can delight God. And he just delights in us all the time, but he delights in certain things as well. So that was the Amplified. This is the Amplified, can't remember what it is, C. I think it's the newer one. "And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another." Is that awesome? I mean, wouldn't it be great if everything that we ever did was because I esteem and delight in you? It's amazing, isn't it? We would just be awesome. "As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering, a sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance." Okay. Colossians. Next slide. Colossians 3. We went through Colossians last year quite a lot. This is, again, the Amplified. "Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. Whatever," this is 23, "whatever may be your task," whether it's, I don't know, picking up this little bit of litter, whether it's doing something that someone else should have done and they didn't do it, whether it's doing your job, whether it's whatever, it's whatever, no matter what it is. And the reason I'm saying it is because we'll get happier. We will become happier people because it's miserable living in judgment and unforgiveness. It's miserable living in a law-based, wage-based, right-wrong-based system. I was miserable when I was saying to God, did I do it right or did I do it wrong? Did I do it right or did I do it wrong? And thank God he said, you know, got me out of that. So either we're going to be doing stuff because this is right and this is wrong and this is right and this is wrong, and or we're going to do it because whatever it is, I'm just doing it for Jesus because I know who I am and I'm a blessing and it flows out of me because I've got oil that comes out of me because I'm a green olive tree and that is a great blessing. I'm anointed to do it. "Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul," okay? It's not from the physical body. It's not, I'm going to do this because I can do it. It's from the soul. God is interested in about what is going on in this soul, as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men, that you will receive the inheritance, which is your real reward. Okay, and I know we've used this before to kind of batter people and say, right, if you want to be, you know, rewarded, and if you want God to be happy with you, then you better do this. It's not that. It's not that at all. There is a great reward. I got a great reward when God set me free from, did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? Did I do it right? Did I? It was a great reward. It was freedom. And there is a great reward in living in the freedom of who we are. The one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ, the Messiah. Okay. This is the Passion Translation. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus. Wow, every word. It's amazing. But it's not, I'm not saying, you know, come on guys, get better. I'm just saying this is, it's who we are. We can be these people, the anointed one, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. For we know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance of kingdom authority from the Lord as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. A disciple will be repaid for what he has learned and followed, for God pays no attention to the titles or prestige of men. Amazing. Okay, so this is why this is about worship, okay? I've got to the final point. I remember years ago listening to somebody talk, and she was a kind of scholar of Hebrew. And she, I couldn't remember anything that she said, but I remember her talking about the issue of work and worship. And the fact that the root of the Hebrew word of work and worship is the same word, and it is this avodah, however you say it. And this word is the word that is used a number of times, and it either means work, worship, or service. It's exactly the same word. You know, we've talked quite a bit about worship, and, you know, we're looking again about how do we corporately worship, and, you know, a number of us got together and, you know, got a list of what is worship, and, you know, we kind of had this kind of debate about what was and what wasn't worship. But work and worship are seamless and the same thing. So it's just really interesting that when we live this life knowing I'm a blessing and I can do this because I'm a blessing and I can do this because he is in me and that's who I am, and I've no need any other motivation for doing it other than it's who I am because of who he is. So these are the times in the scripture, and we know them, that this word, avodah, are used. So 6 days shall you work, okay, the law. Psalm 104:23. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Okay, it's that word. Let my people go that they may serve me. Different translations say worship me. The request to Pharaoh. Joshua, when he says, me and my household, we will serve the Lord, we will work. So we can live this life of constant worship, and this life of constant worship is about knowing who we are, knowing we are recipients of complete mercy and grace of God, and knowing that we are in him and he is in us and we are intertwined, and it's glorious. It's really, really glorious. We don't have to spend our time thinking about what's right or what's wrong, what's this or what's that. We don't have to think on those terms. We just think about, God, you're delighting in me. You are delighting in me. I can do this horrible thing in a way, and you're delighting in me because you're bothered about the way that I do it. And it's awesome, isn't it? It's just awesome. Whatever we do, it doesn't really matter whatever we do. And so I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So I feel kind of free to talk to you about, you know, to remind you, because I know that in the past we would have had this heart, you know, right? So let's love one another better and let's do this because you're going to get a reward. You know, it's not about that. It's about how do we live lives where we are. I like Andy's phrase. He's like, how do we live lives that we can be the best people that we can be? Now, there's some practicalities. If you haven't done Kylo, then do Kylo, right? You know, I'm not saying we're trodden over all the time. I'm not saying that as a community we just have one person shifting all the chairs and everyone else lazes about and that person just is trodden down and enslaved to moving the chairs, okay? But what I'm saying is let's keep our hearts right and then do the good communication, do the what you need to know about me that will help you to get the best out of me. Okay, so I'm not, I don't even know I'm talking about kind of doing practical stuff, but what I'm talking about is worship. Every day, God is not, he's just not concerned about what did you do? He's not really concerned about did you do A or B or C or D. He's interested in about did you know who you really were when you were doing it? Did you know that you were such a blessing? That you had this mandate and ability to pour out the mercy of God, to live in this glorious union, which is worship. And it's worship, that's what worship is. So I think that is it. It's not what you do, it's the way that you do it.
Well, let's stand up. Thank you, Rebecca. Great word to us to encourage us. Just as we head off into yet another 7 days of gloriousness. And I say that, you know, because if we're going from glory to glory, then this is glorious. And what's up the road is even more glorious. So just, you know, close your eyes, or you don't have to close your eyes, but sometimes it's easier to concentrate and just look up the road into this week. You may know what Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday looks like. You may be a more spontaneous person and you may not have a lot of things planned. But God has a plan for this week, and it's you. Okay, it's not A or B or C or Z, it's yes. Okay, and I think that is just, it's a profound thing. It's a profound invitation to us to grab hold of, because all of a sudden, your worth is not dependent on what you do. All right? I'm just worth it because I'm worth it, because he says I'm worth it. And I can, if you hear me correctly, do what I like. Because he's still going to tell me I'm worth it, whatever I do. So let's just look up the road, okay? And let's just in our hearts now just begin to thank God for the things that we're going to encounter with him. Right, so start from a place of thank you, God. I thank you, God, for tomorrow. I thank you, God, that you've got tomorrow, you know, under control. So I can step, you know, I can go to sleep tonight knowing that you've got tomorrow. It's gonna be okay. Tomorrow's gonna be a good day, because Jesus, you've just looked after it. So I want to step into tomorrow with confidence, knowing that your heart for me, God, is to be a blessing to the people that I meet, and that includes me. Some of us need to be a blessing to ourselves. Jesus, so just you know, actively pray, and if you know you've got something that's like coming up this week that's a bit of a moment, then right now we just speak to those ooh moments and say thank you, God, that we are really wise and we can make good decisions. And I just want to speak that over you, right? Just tell yourself, I am really wise. I make great decisions, right? You see, because you need to take ownership of those decisions, knowing that you're free, so that you don't blame God if it doesn't work out right. Okay? Right? I just made the decision and, oh, well, okay. Great. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're going to make loads of great decisions this week. We're going to live being a blessing. Being a blessing. Why don't you just be a blessing to somebody right now and tell
them
they're going
to
be a blessing this week?
If you're hungry for the more of God, if you want to be equipped to live the normal Christian life 24/7, see miracles, walk in healthy relationships, and discover Christ in you, then why don't you head over to www.idestiny.org.uk. iDestiny is Kingsway's 5-month full-time ministry and discipleship school, starting both in March and September every year. For more information on Kingsway Church, please visit www.kwcm.org. And for more information about iDestiny, please visit www.idestiny.org.uk. Have a great day.